Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS. We stream live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, and we utilize the talents of the finest golf analyst
money can buy
in America. Because Johnny Miller, my friend,
is in Scotland.
He's in Scotland at Royal Troon, where he was runner-up in 1973 to Tom Weisskopf. As you correctly noted during the break, Miller the winner in 76 at Royal Birkdale, where the Rota will return next year. But Johnny is back, and that is a bonus of the highest order for you and I.
We missed him on Father's Day.
Oh, Lord.
It wasn't
did.
The same.
Not the same.
Even though I got to give Fox a little credit, though. They were much better this year, I thought.
They were much better.
But
how much of a field day would he have had on all the things going on
that
day?
Oh,
wow. Whoa.
They would have had bonus coverage of him, I think.
Yeah.
But he would also be telling you it wouldn't have mattered back in 73 because I had such a big lead on Sunday.
That's right. They could have thrown down 63.
They could have put as many penalties on me as they wanted. But, I didn't really realize that NBC had the rights until I was watching some golf channel the other day, and I saw their name pop up, and I said, that means Johnny's back, so that'll be good.
And David Faraday, now working for NBC, we would assume
should
David
be a lot
be
of fun.
Well.
I'm sure he'll be very excited to go home.
By the way, speaking of open courses, one of his home courses, Royal Port Rush, is going to return to the rotation.
For
I think in 2019. Had been there one time, I think,
like
back in the 50s.
Yeah.
Lots of people have raved about that course.
Took a lot of logistical work, I think, to work that out. But good for that. That'll be fun to see.
That's very good. But, yeah, glad to have NBC. NBC first-rate golf coverage always, and of course, as Dale and I believe, there's nobody better there in the tower as the lead analyst and the one and only Johnny Miller. And when Dale and I were looking some stuff up about the coverage, Johnny was quoted of saying of Royal Troon, where again runner-up in 73 to Tom Weisskopf. By the way, the last six winners at Troon, Americans. So perhaps we should pick an American. Pretty good odds that I will. Dale's got something crazy coming at us, so you guys don't need to go anywhere. But Johnny said of Royal Troon, the first seven holes, pretty easy. Said after that, better hang on to your shorts. And, of course, we've talked about what can happen in terms of menace if the wind is up around that back nine.
You know, you and I always kind of laugh about Johnny Miller, but he is really, really good.
He's exceptional.
I mean, he's obviously kind of a narcissist at times and – likes to remind people how good he was, and that's always been kind of his shtick, but he is really good at golf analysis,
well,
I think.
He is a brilliant analyst. He has a brilliant mind for the game of golf, and I believe he's exceptional at explaining it.
Yeah,
I really do. And you pair his talent and his brilliance with his candor, and you've got gold.
It's good stuff,
I mean, he's really been marvelous. So, my friend, in terms of potential dark horses and contenders and ultimately the winner that old John will be talking about, what do you see in your crystal ball?
Let me get my notes up here real quick. I'm sorry, my phone.
Dale is going so fully high-tech on me.
I am. Yeah, welcome to the 21st century.
He used to come in. He would have made his notes. They were true notes in the notebook. Now he's gone to the handheld technology.
Yes. All right, here we go. My long shots, and this one's not that big of a – but I'm going off the rail on some of these. My first one, though, this is a pretty safe choice. He's got a lot of history in major championships. Is Henrik Stenson, long hitter, big guy. He's never won a major, but he's always seems to be in that 5 to 15 range. He's got some wins, a lot of international experience.
Sneaky sense of humor, too. They told him this week that the last six winners at Troon were Americans. He said, that's good. I play a lot of golf in America.
There we go.
So, stinking positive already.
All right, I like it. Now, then, here is my first. I'm talking way off the farm, way out of left field. And I think this guy is going to win and contend in a lot of majors in his hit career. But I'm going John Rahm.
Say what?
Yes, the Spaniard who just turned pro. If you did watch any of the U.S. Open coverage, he was the highest-ranked amateur in the world. He's from Spain, went to Arizona State, played for Phil Mickelson's brother, had a great showing at Oakmont, and then he came back the next week in his first tournament as a professional at Congressional. He didn't win, but he was in contention, so just a really talented player. He's going to win a lot of tournaments.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Is he the next Spaniard to win a major?
He may very well
be. You know what I'm asking.
I know what you're asking. You're doing a lot of foreshadowing about someone that I know you don't like.
I'm just reading you right now, big guy. Just reading you.
You know me too long. So that is a real, real long shot. But I you know, there's no reason. This is that one.
Well, Todd Hamilton won here in 2004.
Exactly. And Justin Leonard, nice player, never a superstar. Right. So
Justin's living in Aspen now. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Jason Sobel, nice piece on Leonard about a change in the family's life. He's playing the Steve Stricker schedule. Got a full beard now. Some swallows.
He runs marathons and stuff.
Yeah. Oh
he?
Yeah. He's skiing. He's just he's a stay at home dad.
Good for
playing
him.
Limited schedule. Yeah. He's relaxed and living free and easy.
So
that has nothing to do with your list of dark horses.
But that's interesting.
But still.
All right. Now we get to the favorites, and you got to say Dustin Johnson, and why not?
Why not, indeed?
I mean, he's the hottest player in the world, and he can turn any course into a pitch and putt, and he's going to turn this course into one, I have a feeling.
Let me ask you this, because you and I had this discussion on the day of the Open, on that Sunday, on Father's Day, when Dustin won the U.S. Open, and you were full of praise for him. But when I suggested that at his best, he was the best player in golf if this ability to handle and close stood up, and you were not resistant to that idea's possibility, but neither were you fully ready to endorse yet. Where would he stand for you if you were ranking the top 5 or 10 in golf? Is he top 3, top 5, top 10? Where do you see him right
now? If he has his A game, I'd say he's top 3. I would say I would put him, Day, and McIlroy. If they were all playing their A game.
Does his putting, is that what keeps him from being the very best?
To me, that's what it is. And he's really improved on that. I mean, you look at all the things this guy's gone through. He's at Pebble Beach, the U.S. Open, whatever that was, 7, 8 years ago, he was dominating that tournament. And by the second hole on Sunday, he was out of it.
Yep.
Whistling straights. He thinks he's going to a playoff to win a major championship. Gets DQ'd. Then he goes on his leave of absence.
Yes.
Now he's married to a highly public figure of her own doing, more than, you know, other than her name. He's really put himself out there, and to his credit, he has come back bigger and better and stronger.
I want to ask you another question, and this is partially has to do with Dustin, but this would fit into a narrative with Phil Mickelson and maybe Sergio Garcia. I don't know. We'll see. But we are tougher than ever, and I think Americans have always been tough if somebody didn't win. You know, we don't do well giving credit to anybody but those who win. But it's interesting because I think about when people talk about Jack Nicklaus and his greatness. Admittedly, the number one thing that people say about Jack and his resume as the greatest golfer of all time is 18 major championship wins. But those who really appreciate Nicklaus and really want to underscore his greatness, they will tell you he finished second 19 times,
right,
in majors. Brother, 19 times he was at the doorstep and didn't get it done. There are a lot of people in today's world who'd call you choker.
Right.
I mean, he didn't win as often as he did. And you and I both know, against the backdrop of 18 major championships, that's a ludicrous thing for anybody to say. And so nobody says it about the great Jack Nicklaus. But have we often, because of Tiger Woods' ability to get there and close almost universally, did we stop giving guys the proper credit for being in the top 2 or 3 in a major championship?
Yeah, I think you did lose a lot of that credit. But I think people like a comeback story too.
Yeah.
So I think Dustin Johnson is a great story.
So he's well positioned to be the man of the moment.
Yeah, and so I don't see any reason why you wouldn't say he's – I mean, when he drives the ball well, he's kind of got a – he's just so big and powerful to begin with. He's got a kind of an unorthodox swing. And he just takes it back, and he just holds on for dear life, and he's so strong. He doesn't have to worry about flipping that club over. And so he kind of takes out half the golf course immediately, and he just hits it so far.
What would he need to do in the next – six majors to get you to believe he's the best player in the world?
Assuming Rory doesn't win any against him, I would still, if they were playing.
You're a strong McIlroy believer, aren't you?
If he is on his A game, yeah, I am. If Rory doesn't win any of the next six majors and Dustin wins maybe just one major and just keeps winning a couple, two or three times a year on the PGA Tour, I think maybe give him the nod. I mean, if he wins this week, he moves up to number one on the world rankings, which is not the most.
I'm only using the McCallum rankings here.
I'm giving Rory a slight edge.
Against that backdrop, why do we not see McIlroy's A game more often?
And I hate to say I don't know, but I really don't know.
It's puzzling, isn't it?
It really is.
That's why I asked. I mean, because, you know, whether from you to anybody else that covers the game, most people feel the same way you do.
I guess you can go back to it may have been the 86 Masters when Nicklaus is getting ready to line up a putt and someone asked Tom Weisskopf in the commentator's booth, what's going through Jack's mind right now? And Weisskopf says, I don't know, or I would have won a lot more majors.
That's so good. I mean, that really, it's honest and it's awesome.
And it's true.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really. You know, I don't want to say Rory doesn't have that drive to be the best player in the world. I don't.
Well, we certainly know he's not driven to grow the game golf.
So, I have no firm answer on why you don't get it every week or more often than we do. I'll put it that way.
McIlroy Day Johnson or McIlroy Johnson Day for you right now?
Right now, I'm still going to give Day a little bit of an advantage. He's been on a roll for
fantastic.
A while.
Yeah, really has.
So, yeah, I'd still give Day the advantage.
Spieth 4?
Yeah. I don't think talent-wise Spieth is in the same league as those three guys from tee to green. I think Spieth makes it up with a great mental acumen.
Yep. He's a grinder extreme. Extraordinary. Who'd be your fifth guy? Who'd you finish out the top five with?
Shane Lowry.
That dude, man, he can play.
He can definitely play. I mean, he looks like a guy you would get behind and just hate your life.
And the greatest quote in a press conference this week. Have you seen it?
Oh,
it's so good. Of course, Lowry is a healthy fella.
Very.
He's chopping down in the Husky section, and there's nothing wrong with
that. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But he's an Irishman with quite a sense of humor. And a few years ago, I think it was USGA, wasn't it? They had their portly pairing. They had three big guys together. And Lowry let him have it. I mean, he didn't like it at all. But anyway, he's talking to the scribes here. And, of course, you've got quite a press corps at the British Open, of course. And he was asked about his grouping. And he said, and he used another expletive for crappy. He said, I've been in some really crappy groups before. and he, as it came out of his mouth, they said he got to thinking about it, and he started to laugh, and he kind of turned red. And he said, oh, I can't say that, Canna. And he laughed again, and he said, I don't mean to be disrespectful of the golfers I've played with. He said, I just mean more. I've had early off. I've had last off. And then, again, he kind of, you know, shamed himself, realizing how that sounded coming out of his mouth, but it just absolutely broke the room up. And, of course, that's one thing that we didn't talk a ton about in the open of our segment, and we've talked about it in years past. Sometimes your success in the British Open, getting through the first 2 days, is when are you playing your golf?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you go out in the morning and you have a calm morning and then the winds come in, the afternoon group may really be hurt or vice versa. So, yeah, I mean, getting that – you get out there before the winds start blowing, you can the course can probably play 3 to 4 strokes easier. But about his game, he's a really big guy, great ball striker, plays all over the world. He's won
world golf championship players.
He's probably in the top – I guess he's a top 20 player in the world at this point.
Really,
really, really, really good.
Yep. Anybody else on your contenders list this week?
I've got the winner.
I got you earlier, didn't I?
Who's gonna be
doing whatever he wants with that claret jug,
champion
brother?
Champion golfer of the year. Now I know we're recording this a little late, so by the time people hear this,
he is probably.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to back Dale up. This is being recorded right now, 5:06 Central on Wednesday afternoon. Okay. My man has no inside knowledge, no cheat, This is a pure prognostication.
But by the time this airs, my boy will probably be 7 over par. Dan Jenkins will be in a pub doing a jig.
I got
but it. Viva La Spain, Sergio, Sergio, Sergio.
It's finally his time.
It is his time.
What a great pick.
I've picked him before, and I said I would never do it again, but I'm going with it. Here's a guy who has been – this has got to be – when did he come out? When was Medina? Was
99.
That 99. So
good heavens.
17 years ago, he burst onto the scene, chases down Tiger, doesn't
El
get
Nino.
To it. Yes. So we're talking about a guy who's played in 60-plus majors. There is no denying his ball striking. None. He's as good as anybody in the world. His putting, obviously, has always been shady. Open putting is not as big a factor. The green's going to be slower. They're not quite as contoured. It's always been mental with Sergio. Can he? What happens when he does hit that great drive and then finds it in a pot, in a you know a bunker and has it out backwards? Does he take a bogey or does he take a bogey and then go double bogey?
Yeah, what happens on the next
par double bogey? That's what's happened to him. I just got a feeling he's due. Best player to ever never win a major.
He's on the list.
He's on that list.
He's on that list.
You know, I think. Who else would be on it? Henrik Stenson is probably on that list right now. I'm going Sergio.
What an inspired pick.
I like it.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm not going to root against him this
All
week.
Right.
If he's got a chance to win it, I'm going to be with the Sergio Garcia
this
train.
This is the tournament that all international players most want to win. Americans, you know, some are going to say the Masters. Some are going to say the U.S. Open. If you're not from America, you are calling the Open your tournament.
Yep.
He's doing it for Seve. It's Sergio's time.
That's a good pick. I like that. I like that a lot. I also like that I figured it out before you got to it. I don't know why it struck me that that's where you were going, because when you first told me we came in today, and of course Dale and I always just spend some time visiting, and he said he was just kind of going off the wall to another place, and the thing I understood immediately when he said that he wasn't going with somebody that would be on everybody's short list of favorites is the Open Championship that brings it into play. As we said, 2004, Todd Hamilton. Who's Todd Hamilton? He defeats Ernie Els in a playoff to win the Claret Jug, and so you think this could happen. Anything could happen here as the winds whip around Scotland and off the Firth of Clyde, where Little Troon is located. Sergio Garcia, a great pick. I'm going to root for him. If he's there, I'm going to root for him. I'm going to root for Dale to be right, but I'm going to ride this Dustin Johnson train. You know, you guys know me. I like to get a hot golfer. Used to be a fellow by the name of Tiger Woods. Dale tells me he's not entered this week. So Dustin Johnson got it done for me last time. I'm going back to DJ to go back to back.
He could do it. I would not be surprised.
And then maybe in a couple of weeks we're back here, and I'm predicting him to win the PGA Championship. I wonder, and I think, by the way, I do think if Sergio wins this, I think it's good for golf. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I think it's compelling.
He'd be a very popular champion.
Especially given the way, as you said, that Europeans and internationals feel about the Open Championship. That's a great story. But Dustin Johnson rising into the upper echelon will also be an interesting story for golf. Because let's say that things play themselves out. Let's say Johnson does win one more major before this year's over. Maybe McIlroy gets one. Spieth and Day continue to play at an elite level. Very interesting to see our landscape going into 2017 if Johnson can throw himself into this mix.
Or going into the FedEx. You skipped right over
what
that.
What are you doing? What are you doing to me? I've already invited you back for an Olympic preview. You want a FedEx special too?
No.
By the way, if you know Dale, there's little in golf he detests more than the FedEx. Are they still doing that?
Well, sure they are.
My goodness, at what point do you stop being married to a bad idea?
I don't know.
Not yet, obviously.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I guess as long as the FedEx check.
You excited
cashes.
About the Ryder Cup?
Well, it's a little early right now. There hadn't been any buzz at all. I guess the teams will be announced here before too long, though.
You can be excited, though.
Well, yeah, it's coming to Minnesota.
Hazeltine, right?
Yes.
That's my second favorite team behind Ovaltine, Hazeltine.
Boom, boom.
Is that where Rich Beam, he went?
He did win, yeah. Did his little dance on the green.
Rich Beam.
Payne Stewart won a U.S. Open there.
Hazeltine's classic track.
Yeah.
Great track. Is the U.S. the favorite?
Could be. I mean, DJ and Spieth, that's a pretty good team.
Pretty good.
Good anchors there. You don't have to worry about Jason Day.
European side will be good, though.
Oh, yeah.
No,
they,
Poulter.
They always come up to it.
Poulter will have to be like a vice captain, assistant captain or something, won't he?
Probably.
Got to have him in the mix.
It'll be fun, though.
I asked you earlier off the air, do you have any sort of good feeling about Monty at home at Troon where he's a member?
No. I mean, that'd be a great, great story. I mean, if we had like a Tom Watson where we had a few years ago, but I don't think anything like that. I mean, he could get around there and maybe make a cut, though. We were talking about, I think he. We were talking at the last break about who'd be a good golf commentator. I think Monty would
be
great at
yeah.
that. Of course, he's having a nice career on the senior tour, and that's pretty easy living. So
cut that check. It's good to be a really good professional golfer, and it opens up some avenues.
Lots of them at
this
point.
That story with Jason Sobel with Justin Leonard, the family moves from Dallas to Aspen. They're skiing, they're hanging out, they're having
a great
time.
That's kind of the David Duval life, yeah. too. He's in outside of Denver.
He's doing some TV work. He's playing when he wants to. By the way, Justin Leonard, I forget the number. I want to think it was over $33 million or something. But he's in the top 20 in all-time earnings.
Yeah, it's. I remember when I really first started following golf, Tom Kite was the all-time money winner. And it was a huge deal when Curtis Strange won $1 million in
yep.
a season. A huge deal. That's probably about 88, 89, somewhere around there. You win $1 million every week out there.
Yeah,
now.
Somebody's going to win over $1 million this
yes.
week, right?
Yes,
yeah.
It may not be worth much.
And a fancy,
on the old pound system.
And a fancy jug, too, to go with it.
That's what they're looking for.
Eyes on the. This really is a. I mean, you talk about steeped in tradition and history.
145th version.
Yep. No Ivor Robeson this year. Got a new.
That's sad. New starter.
Got a new starter. Yeah.
Those are some big. Vocal cords to fill.
That's huge. How are you going to match up to that?
You can't.
But at least you can go up and see Johnny Miller in the tower at the British Open.
I'm excited.
It starts overnight
yes.
tonight.
Get up early. Set your alarm for about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Are you going to get up?
I may be up. Who knows?
I will get up at some point.
I'll definitely, before I go to work, I'll have it on.
I'll throw the TV on.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm going to call you at 3 if I'm watching.
Okay, do that.
Especially if Sergio does something either good or bad.
If I wake up and I've got about 9 text messages,
you know
I'll know what's happening.
You know it's me. I couldn't sleep. Just and digging a little coverage from the Open Championship at Royal Troon. My friend, it's always good to see you.
It was fun.
We believe it to be the greatest major championship preview in America.
Hard to argue.
I would think it would
Is this
be.
Your favorite tournament of the year? You usually say
you know it is.
It is,
yeah. It is. Yeah. It is. I mean,
can't quite get to that point, but I do love it.
I love Augusta and the Masters. I love our nation's championship. I don't care about the PGA, but I will pretend to because it's a major. That's what they tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But the uniqueness of these courses and the history of this tournament is what interests me so much because it is, you know, we revere Augusta. It's beautiful. It's immaculate. It is almost, it feels like God's perfect golf course.
Right.
I mean, it that's what it was meant to be. Our nation's championship, it's so exacting, it's so testing, it's played on such great venues, it's fantastic. But, you know, there's just something about the home of golf, the idea that this is how people have been playing the game there since its inception, and you never know what the weather's going to give you. Anything is possible. I really dig it.
It's also, I always find it interesting as a guy who just loves golf course, kind of interesting that the huge you know, 180-degree difference that the American major championships, you know, you have it at Augusta National, probably the most private club in America. You have the U.S. Open courses on so many of these old blue blood money yep. courses of the East Coast. Then you go to the British Open, and it's public golf, basically.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It might be expensive in today's world, but if you and I want to cough it up and go play Royal Troon, they'll have us.
Yeah, well, and in 2030, we're going to do it. Look out, Troon.
All right.
We'll be hanging out, making some aces down at the
Maybe get
stand.
A quick 18 in at Portland.
That's right. We'll just play them both. we're going to do it. Book it, my friend. Thanks.
It's fine as always.
Enjoyed it. Stay sharp. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you back hopefully in a couple of weeks
Sounds
for the PGA.
Good.